Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 4. Ambarish Maharaj offended by Durvasa Muni. Text number 29. Hari Radha Ishu Krishnam.
Hari Radha Ishu Krishnam.
Mahisha Tulya Shilaya.
Mahisha Tulya Shilaya.
Yukta Samvatsaram Viro.
Yukta Samvatsaram Viro.
Dara Dwadashi Vratam.
Dara Dwadashi Vratam.
Hari Radha Ishu Krishnam.
Hari Radha Ishu Krishnam.
Mahisha Tulya Shilaya.
Mahisha Tulya Shilaya.
Yuktak Samvatsaram Viro.
Yuktak Samvatsaram Viro.
Dadara Dwadashi Vratam.
Dadara Dwadashi Vratam.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. To worship Lord Krishna, Maharaj Ambarish, along with his queen, who is equally qualified, observed the vow of Ekadashi and Dwadashi for 1 year. Purport. To observe Ekadashi Vrat and Dwadashi Vrat means to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those interested in advancing in Krishna consciousness must observe Ekadashi Vrat regularly. Maharaj Ambarish's queen was equally as qualified as the king. Therefore, it was possible for Maharaj Ambarish to engage in his life and household affairs. In this regard, the word Tulya Shilaya is very significant. Unless a wife is equally as qualified as her husband, household affairs are very difficult to continue. Chanaka Pandit advises that a person in such a situation should immediately give up household life and become a vanaprastha or a sannyasi. Mata yasya grihe nashti bharya ka priya vadini aranya tena gantavyam tata yata aranyam tata griham. Person who has no mother at home and whose wife is not agreeable with him should immediately go away to the forest. His human life is meant for spiritual advancement only. One's wife must be helpful in this endeavor. Otherwise, there is no need of household life. Hari Radha Ishu Krishnam Mahisha Tulya Shilaya Yuktas Samvatsaram Viro Dadara Dwadashi Vratam. To worship Lord Krishna, Maharaj Ambarish, along with his queen, who is equally qualified, observe the vow of Ekadashi and Dwadashi for 1 year. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthai Budhaya Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharne Nirvishesha Srinivari Paskatya De Siddharne. Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Yad Kuroshi Yad Ashnasi Yaj Jahoshi Tadasi Yad Yad Tapasasi Kunteya Tat Kurusha Manarpanam. All that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering to me. And what kind of offering? In the previous verse, Krishna says, Patram pushpam phalam toyam yo me bhaktya priyachati tadaham bhakti pariyutam bhak ashnami priyatatmanaha. That Krishna accepts the offering if it's offered with bhakti or devotion. Therefore, vrata, or taking a vow, is meant to help us increase our devotion to Krishna. If a vow doesn't help increase our devotion to Krishna, then it has no positive effect upon our actual spiritual life. And one such vow is here, Ekadashi Vrat, where generally the devotees, they fast from beans and grains and other such foods. But Prabhupada once said that in Vrindavan, for instance, the actual Ekadasi Vrat is to fast from everything, even water. But the idea of fasting on Ekadasi is not for some simply to perform the tapasya of fasting. It's to give one the opportunity to increase one's absorption in Krishna consciousness by hearing and chanting more about Krishna. In other words, generally when we're eating or such activities, then it is very difficult to, or sleeping, especially sleeping. It is, when we're sleeping, it's practically impossible to think of Krishna. If someone has a dream about Krishna once a year, then he becomes very excited and thinks he's self-realized. Or he's a seer. Or that Krishna has come to him personally. He may not go to the temple sometimes for weeks and see the deity. But if the deity, Krishna, once for 5 seconds in his dream comes, he thinks he's a great soul. So, to see Krishna in a dream is undoubtedly nice. To see Krishna anytime is nice. But it is, if we can see Krishna for 5 hours or 6 hours while we're dreaming, while we're sleeping, well, that means that we were quite advanced. But that's generally not possible. We may see so many things in our dreams, and we may not, even we don't, most of the time when we're dreaming, we're quite unconscious of anything. So whether we see Krishna as something else, that's another thing. But it is very rare to see Krishna for very long while we're asleep. And similarly, while we're eating, we all have the experience that one of the most difficult things to remember while we're eating is Krishna. One has to train himself to remember that Krishna is not different from the food. Therefore, we recite prayers such as Mahaprasade, Govinda, Nami, Brahmani, Vaishnavi, Swapapunya Vittam Rajan, Vishvaso, Naiva Jayate. We recite prayers not simply so that we don't pounce on the food immediately, but to help us remember why we're eating and what we're eating. Because the mind, as soon as it's near the object of sense gratification, due to our past habits and experiences, generally forgets what is the purpose of life. And instead thinks that the goal of life is simply what's called prayas, the immediate gratification of the senses, rather than the shreyas, which is the devotional service of Krishna. Therefore, the ahara, nidra, bayam, maitunim, cha, eating, sleeping, sex, and defending, at these times it is very difficult to remember Krishna. Therefore, on a day such as Ekadasi, one tries to minimize such activities so it becomes easier to maximize devotional activities such as hearing, chanting, and remembering Krishna. Without that increase of Krishna consciousness, such austerity has very little meaning. But so, therefore Krishna says, yad karoshi, yad ashnasi, yad shahoshi, dadasi, yad. Yad tapasasi kunteya, tad kurushvam and arpanam. So anything we're doing should be done with devotion to Krishna, and anything we're eating should be eaten with the idea of devotion. Similarly, any austerity that we may perform or anything we're offering, that should also be done in Krishna consciousness. At the beginning, when the devotees had to celebrate Ekadasi, they used to have, someone came up with the idea that Ekadasi meant a feast. Probably because there were 2 days in the month that the devotees generally didn't look forward to. They thought on these days we're going to be tortured. Of course, in the beginning also, Prabhupada once gave a statement in one of his classes that every appearance day that we should observe it by a half-day fast. And if you look on the Vaishnav calendar, especially the one that we had there, every other day was an appearance day, or someone appeared. Therefore, every other day we were fasting for half a day. So the result would be that as soon as the appearance day of an acharya would come, or an incarnation, we dread it. Oh, here he comes again. So that type of attitude is not very good. This incarnation, why did he appear and causes so much difficulty? Therefore, someone came up eventually with the idea that Ekadasi meant a feast. So the devotees would eat so much on Ekadasi. They cook elaborate preparations, and there would be a big feast, and everyone would go to sleep. That way they didn't have to worry about Ekadasi. It would pass by quickly. And then we can get back to our normal routine, which was a little bit more austere. So that didn't work out either. The whole point of the Ekadasi and Dvadasi was missed. Therefore, of course, within our society recently, there was a fad that everyone, if you were a real devotee, you'd fast all day, not drink any water, chant 64 rounds or 100 rounds or 150 rounds, stay up all night, and if you didn't do that, you were a demon. So that lasted for at least 6 months. And then devotees went back to their normal routine of three meals on Ekadasi and getting to sleep as quickly as possible. But, therefore, we should keep in mind what is the actual purpose of what we're doing. Otherwise, it's called niyamagraha. One may very strictly follow some rule and regulation, but if the aim is missed, it's called niyamagraha. One doesn't know the purpose for what he's doing, the activity, what he should expect as a result. And Ekadasi Vrat should give us the time and the concentration and the enthusiasm to increase our hearing, chanting, and remembering Krishna. If whatever we're doing on such days decreases our hearing, chanting, and remembering Krishna, and increases our material anxiety over eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, then we've missed the point of the day. On the other hand, niyamagraha also means to not follow it, thinking that if I follow this vow, I'll become disturbed. I can't fast, therefore, instead of following the vow, I'll completely neglect. I'll simply let my senses have a day off, or a free day to do whatever they want. So this is also not good. One has to be very attentive to the purpose and try the best one can to fulfill that purpose. One has to be conscious of time, place, and circumstance. I remember for a couple of years or so, I just observed Neil Jal Ekadasi. But at that time, I was full-time, full-time. Although I was a temple president, still, the whole temple, was so many devotees, 5, 6, 7 devotees, would go out full-time every day on book distribution, including the temple president, me. So every Ekadasi would come, and I'd also observe Neil Jal Ekadasi, but I started to notice that I didn't care very much about the people I was giving the books to. I was more concerned about the austerity that I was going through. So this is also not so good. One has to be conscious that according to one's particular time, place, and circumstances, that one has to change his activities so that one performs them in devotion to a higher, more consistently and more devotionally. So here it mentions that one of the time, place, and circumstances that one has to consider is who he associates with. Generally, for a brahmachari, he associates with other brahmacharis. Therefore, such association is generally conducive to its spiritual advancement, because brahmachari means brahmachari guru kule vasam danta gurarhitam acharan vasanam nicho guru sorida sudrida. It doesn't mean something else. It means that brahmachari has to learn how to control danta guru. He has to become danta. He has to learn how to control his mind and senses. Every brahmachari has to do that. Not that one brahmachari is, I guess in English they call it a swinger. And the other, he's there, but he really can't avoid listening to rock and roll music. And his favorite publications are, he can't avoid them. So, one can't be a brahmachari, and as Prabhupada, one class, it's called a bachelor daddy. He can't be a brahmachari and be a bachelor daddy. Every brahmachari has to learn how to control his mind and senses, become a humble servant, faithful to the orders of the guru, etc. But in household life, sometimes there may be a difference between the objectives of one member and the other. Therefore, as it mentions in the story of Kardama Muni, when he was married to Devahuti, it is mentioned that they both had like dispositions. Otherwise, in the material world, for instance, if one person has one objective, a spiritual objective, another one has a material objective, then sometimes the relationship becomes incompatible. And even if they both have spiritual objectives or both have material objectives, if the spiritual objective is not strong enough, then their differences become more prominent than their spiritual goal. Therefore, tulya shilaya, that both should have similar objectives, both should be equal. Here, Maharaj Ambarish is a great devotee, and his wife is also following the vows. Not that she's thinking that my husband, he's a fanatic, that why is he so, you know, strong about following these vows, that I'm going to do my own thing. Just like Srila Prabhupada's wife, she was a devotee in her own way, but she was not so devoted. Therefore, Prabhupada could not encourage her, could not conduce her to help him in his missionary activities. He could not get his family to participate in the programs that he had, even in his own house. Instead, his wife and children would be upstairs eating tea and crackers while he was preaching. And it came to the point where one day, when his wife couldn't get enough money for the tea and crackers, she took his Bhagavatam, and in India they have a system, you put on the scale something, and they put on the scale something else to weigh it. So she wanted to get an equal amount of tea and crackers for the Bhagavatam. So the Bhagavatam went on one scale, and she got tea and crackers on the other. And then Prabhupada finally told his wife, tea or me? And she thought he was joking, so she said, of course, tea. So, luckily for us, she made the wrong choice. And Prabhupada left. Because that's the nature of material life, that sometimes one person may have one objective, and another person has another objective, and it's very difficult for them to stay together over a long period of time. Therefore, more or less as explained here, both persons should have similar ideas in mind. So for spiritual advancement, the wife also has to be thinking of what is good for our spiritual advancement. Prabhupada once said, the man is good, the woman is good, and their combination is oftentimes very bad. Because generally the husband they both may have some spiritual objective, but sometimes it happens that after getting married and the wife wants some children, then she needs a house, she wants this and she wants that. So she wants so many things, and the husband, he has to work for it generally. Of course, this is Kali Yuga, so anything's possible, but this is the general scenario. And then he has to go and collect. So since his collection means he has to go far and wide, especially Kali Yuga, it's not that you go into the field and you collect some cabbages and tomatoes anymore. You have to fly 12,000 miles away with a roll of paintings in your hand to collect. So you can come back and buy some tomatoes from the grocer around the store. So in this endeavor, generally one is cut off from his spiritual life for some time, and the husband begins to resent it, that my wife just is not taking care of the money, she's not taking care of the money so carefully, and because of that I have to unnecessarily endeavor, because of this unnecessary endeavor, therefore I'm neglecting my spiritual life, etc., etc. So he starts blaming his wife for his lack of spiritual advancement. If it wasn't for her, I'd be a pure devotee. I'd be in Vaikuntha. But now I'm in this dark well, dark, obscure well, covered with grass, crying out, no one's hearing me. And it's all her fault. So the wife generally has, especially in this age, she has to be a little patient. And if they both have the same objective, she doesn't unnecessarily create a situation where the man has to endeavor for material economic necessity unnecessarily. Of course, if the man doesn't realize that he has a responsibility, he's also not very serious. He thinks, well, I married a wife and she's supposed to be faithful and chaste and submissive. In other words, she's supposed to be a slave. I got myself a slave, and I've expanded little slaves, and they're all supposed to just slave for me. And me, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit back and study the Bhagavatam so I can convince them to keep on working for me. So one also has some marriage life also means material responsibility. So the man has a responsibility to maintain his family. And if he neglects his family, he's also neglecting his responsibility. And surely the wife and the children will create some disturbance. And therefore, he won't actually be able to concentrate on his devotional service either. So one has the wife and husband have to agree to some balance of their material and spiritual life. Just like Prabhupada said, if you're working on a farm, it may be one thing, but living in a city means that if the wife wants 20 children and the husband knows that it's not feasible, then there's too much endeavor, and he only wants one or two, then there's undoubtedly going to be some conflict also. So some, or the wife wants to live in the most opulent neighborhood, etc., or the husband wants to live in some place which is prestigious, he wants a new car. So this type of balance has to be there, how to arrange her life so that their spiritual as well as their material necessities are taken care of. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Vita Vishakha Ki Jai Lord Jagannath Lord Bhavan Devi Srimati Subhadra Devi Ki Jai Shri Shri Gorani Dhani Ki Jai. So Prabhupada said, in between devotees, generally they may not be born of, or they may not have the same mentalities, but marriage between devotees is always nice. So we can see how difficult it is to be a devotee in this age, because even we're dressed like devotees, externally we're following the same principles as the devotees, but the internal devotion is not always there. We think ourselves devotees simply because we have the, as one devotee once said, because we have the proper dress and we have the right address, therefore we think that we must be devotees. But it's not so easy to be so devotional as to overcome our material desires to the extent that we're able to cooperate with others and surrender our interests to the common interest of others. Therefore, one has to be a little careful, and his, or at least marriage has to be arranged in such a way that the husband and wife have the best opportunity to be able to balance their material and spiritual life together. Not that marriage should be arranged in such a way that they're so compatible that they both loop together. That's also not. We want such a compatible relationship that even if they want to leave, they'll certainly leave together. No, the balance should be there, but a balance of spiritual as well as material compatibility, both having the same objectives. And spiritual life should be emphasized over the material side. Because the material side, that will decrease in the course of time, hopefully, by the performing devotional service, and the spiritual side should increase. Not that the more we get to know each other, the more we forget Krishna. No, the more we get to know each other, the more we become inspired to become devotees of Krishna. So in the spiritual world, husband and wife are there, and the men in Vaikuntha, the women of Vaikuntha, are infinitely more beautiful and opulent than Romeo and Juliet on this planet. But although they're so attractive, but because they're attracted to Krishna, they're not really they're not at all attracted to sense gratification. So I think we'll stop there. Are there any questions? Yeah.
We're thinking about being a collective aspect. Mahavishnu and Gautama Maharaj, he said you can purify your sleep. Can you say something about it?
Purify your sleep.
So you may not be the influence, but...
What was the suggestion that he gave? Were you awake? Well, generally, devotees purify their sleep by coming to the Bhagavatam class and falling asleep. They couldn't sleep at night. They were dreaming of so many material things. So they come to the Bhagavatam class and they fall asleep, and therefore they think of Krishna while they're asleep. Other than that, if during the day one is engaged in Krishna's service, thinking of Krishna, then there's a greater opportunity that at night we'll think of Krishna rather than something else. Prabhupada says that during the day you see gold and you may see a mountain, so at night you dream of a golden mountain. So if during the day you see Krishna and you see Radha, at night you might think of Radha and Krishna. Or even if you think of the cows, that's not so bad either. You see Radha and Krishna and the cows. Anything else? I mentioned that because someone dresses the cows, so you may think of the cows at night. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.